This morning, we pick up once again our series through Ephesians, and so I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The verse, the text we'll be looking at this morning is verse 29, so Ephesians 4, verse 29, but I'll be reading that entire section, verse 17 through 32, just to give us a reminder of what we've covered and to give us some context for our passage. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin with verse 17. But before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. They have become callous, and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ forgave you. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, this morning as we pick up our series in Ephesians once again, just as a reminder, over the last few months we've worked our way through this letter. And as we've done so, Paul has been teaching what Christ has done for our salvation, what Christ has accomplished to save us, what makes us a church. And when it comes down to it, it's the gospel. As we've worked our way through this letter, Paul has first presented the truths of the gospel, focusing on what we should believe. He laid the foundational truths of our salvation, who we are in Christ. First part of this letter was focused on the indicative. This is who you now are in Christ. This is what you should believe. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul transitioned to the practical life application. This is what it means for you, part of this letter. This is how you live out those gospel truths. So we go from declaring the gospel in the first part of Ephesians to then applying the gospel. And that's the section of this letter that we're in. It's the implications of that gospel message for our day-to-day lives. What it means for each and every one of us as we live out this gospel. In chapter 4, verse 22 through 24, we're told to put off our old self, which is corrupt through deceitful desires. And to put on, be clothed with our new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And now Paul is applying that truth, that gospel truth, what it looks like for us to put off and put on in verse 29 to the words that we say. Putting off the old self, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. No rotten, harmful words. And putting on the new self. Words that are good. Words that build up. Words that give grace. In this way, we see the gospel impacting and setting the agenda for our entire lives, including the words that come out of our mouths. And so this morning, as we look at verse 29 together, we remember that what is true is that Christ dwells in your hearts through faith. That you are rooted and grounded in love, strengthened with the power of the Spirit. God's power is at work within you, and that's why we are called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling by not letting any corrupt word come out of our mouths, but only what is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. The question that we're unpacking this morning is, how does the gospel affect the words that we say? So we'll be looking first of all at corrupting talk, secondly at building up, and then third and finally giving grace. And so first, corrupting talk. Verse 29 begins, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. And right at the beginning, you have Paul making this extensive claim of Christ on us. Verse 29 shows that extensive claim. Let no corrupting talk. So not only are we to stay away from lies, if you have your Bibles open, you can look back to 25, put away all falsehood. Don't lie. Speak the truth. But now, in addition to that, we are being told to stay away from any corrupting, unwholesome talk of any kind. And this command covers everything. It directs each one of us who have put on Christ and are part of the body of Christ not to say words that are harmful to others. We're not to let any corrupting word, any harmful words, come out of our mouths. And this isn't just referring to the bad words we let fly when we stub our toe, or crude speech, or crude joking. The corrupting talk that Paul is addressing here is in contrast with the good talk that builds up. So the talk he's referring to is a talk that destroys and breaks down. No destructive talk. No breaking down people. No destroying words. And notice Paul's absolute statement here. No, let no corrupting talk. None whatsoever. And there's no small print disclaimer at the bottom here that says, unless someone's offended you or hurt you, then you're allowed to, you know, hurt them back. There's no exception. None of these sinful words that tear down, that put down, that humiliate or hurt have any place in our speech, the speech of those who are clothed with Christ. That's not who we are anymore. Let no corrupting talk. Now the word that Paul uses here for corrupting, some versions translate it as unwholesome. The word there is the same word that's described or used to describe rotten fruit or rotten fish. Things that are decaying, things that are rotten, things that are useless. It's like when you grab for that orange and you turn it over and you realize that the backside's all moldy. Or you reach into the potato bag and your finger goes into the potato because it's rotten. Or you do the smell check on that leftover in the fridge and it makes you stumble back. It's not good anymore. It's rotten. Or you take that first bite of cereal and it tastes funny. Not because you have COVID, but because the milk's gone bad. We know what rotten is. We know what rancid is. And so what does it mean to have rotten talk? The word used here to describe corrupting talk not only refers to something that is rotten or useless, but also to something that is harmful. Corrupting. The rot spreads. It destroys. Let no harmful word, let no destructive word go out of your mouth. No corrupting talk. Jerry Bridges explains that in the category of corrupting talk, we need to include gossip, lying, slander, critical speech, even when it's true. If it's not building up, it's tearing down. Harsh words, insults, sarcasm, ridicule. In fact, we would have to say that any speech that tears down another person, either someone we are talking about or someone we are talking to, is sinful speech. Corruptive talk. So we need to ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say going to tear down or build up the person I'm talking about or talking to? Are these words going to leave them in a better place or not? Or am I trying to get back at them, hurt them like they hurt me, break them down? James 3 gives us the warning about the destructive power of our tongues, the destructive power of the words that come out of our mouths by comparing the words we say, our tongues, to a small spark that can ignite an entire forest fire. One small spark. And in the same way, the words we say, our tongue, ignites, corrupts the entire person and sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. That's the warning that James gives us. Now Paul is saying, don't let any corrupting talk, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Jesus uses the same word here that Paul is using for corrupting or rotting, but Jesus uses it to describe the fruit of a tree. From a diseased or a rotten tree, same word here that's used in our passage for corrupting, sarpos is the Greek word, comes rotten fruit. Matthew 7, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, and the diseased tree, rotten tree, bears rotten fruit, bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Now this morning, you can imagine the situation. A group of friends standing in a circle talking together. When someone says something about you or someone else that crosses the line, It stings a little bit. He went too far. And at the risk of making things awkward, you ask, why did you say that? And what's the response? Oh, I was just joking. I was only joking. But the problem is that you recognize a tree by its fruit. And a healthy tree doesn't jokingly produce bad fruit. Matthew 12, verse 33, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that means that even though we're talking about the corrupting words that come out of our mouths, the real problem is my heart. Because that's the source. That's where it's coming from. Because of from our sinful heart flow all of our gossip and our slander and our critical speech and our insults and our sarcasm. That's the source. Why did I say that? That quick jab. That hurtful comment. That sarcastic statement. What was going on in your heart that led you to say what you said? What were you feeling when you said that? How did saying those things make the situation better? In what other ways could you have responded? Do you gossip or criticize others? Do you show your impatience and your anger through unkind words that tend to humiliate or hurt? If you and I really want to live out the gospel, then we need to make sure that no corrupting talk comes out of our mouths. But the ultimate problem is my heart. I can bite my tongue all I want so that those words don't come out. And I don't actually say what I'm thinking out loud, but then I need to ask myself, why am I even thinking this way? What do these thoughts about this person tell me about what's going on in my heart? That's why David prays in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Christ wants all of you. Your words. Your thoughts. Now, Paul once again follows the negative command here with a positive one. So we go from the negative, no corrupting talk, to the positive, building up. That's our second point this morning. But only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion. So the focus, first of all, here is on what is good. Now, Paul here doesn't just tell us that what we're doing is wrong and that we need to stop it. He also gives us the positive of what we should be saying. And what we should be saying is only that which is good, that which builds up according to the occasion or in a way that fits the need. A literal translation from the Greek here on verse 29 would be, but if there be any good word for the building up of the need. Or, but whatever is beneficial for the building up of what is lacking. So the emphasis here is building up, strengthening what is lacking, what is needed, addressing that need. And it's important to point out that word, good, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only that no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Talk, word, good, here is in the singular. The emphasis throughout this verse is that every word is to be accounted for. Don't let any corrupting word come out of your mouth. Therefore, any word that comes out of our mouth should be good and not evil, which causes injury. What we are saying, the words that come out of our mouth, should be good and beneficial, meaning meeting the need that someone else has, building up in that person what is needed, what is lacking. In that way, the words that are good and are building up are exactly the opposite words, opposite of the words that corrupt, destroy, rot. So we're doing the opposite here. Instead of rotting, destroying, decaying, we are building up and strengthening. So think about the things that you say. Think about the things you've said. What's the intention of your heart, and what's the result? This past week, last 24 hours, I can think of things that I have said that I need to be forgiven for, that could have been said in a better way. The goal here is only saying what is good for building up. The purpose for these good words is to build up. Now, when we think of building someone up, we might initially think of encouraging them or affirming them and pointing out what you appreciate about them. And that gets us started in the right direction of what Paul is getting at. But Paul is approaching this idea of building up from a gospel application, building each other up and ultimately building the church perspective. So there's a lot more going on here. Here are a few passages that help us understand what building up means for Paul and what then building up means for us as we try to put this into practice. Romans 14, verse 19, Paul states, "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding." So here, the goal is mutual upbuilding, building each other up, and we're building each other up. And the context there is the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, joy, and serving Christ by building each other up. Romans 15. We who are strong have an obligation, this is verse 1 and 2. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So not being selfish, it's about bearing with patiently the failings of the weak, so others who have needs. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. So Christ didn't selfishly come to please himself. And so, in a very similar way, we bear with the failings and the weaknesses of those who are around us, because it's not about pleasing ourselves, but rather meeting their needs for the good of the neighbor, building him up where there is a weakness. Beginning of our passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, if you have your Bibles open, here you have the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So here, as part of the body of Christ, as believers, we're using our gifts to minister to each other, and the result is building up the body of Christ. And then look at verses 15 and 16 in chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Rather, speaking the truth in love. So there again, talking about the words that come out of our mouth. Speaking the truth in love, what happens? We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So notice, speaking the truth in love is how we grow up into Christ, who is the head, and how we, as the body, are built up in love. And so it's not just building up someone's self-esteem. It's lovingly speaking the truth to them in a way that meets their real need. And at the same time, it's building up the body of Christ. So the bigger picture here, if you take a step back, is that as part of the body of Christ, you also benefit from building up those around you. As you are addressing that need, meeting that person's need, addressing what is lacking in their life, strengthening them, building them up by the words that you say, you are ultimately strengthening and building up the body of Christ, which you are part of. Instead of tearing it down, rotting it, building it up. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, another letter from Paul, Paul first preaches the gospel. Salvation through Jesus Christ, by his death we have life. And then he goes right into telling us how to live out that gospel as we encourage one another and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So that's the gospel declaration, and then it's applied. Verse 11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. Now this might seem obvious or maybe even overly simplistic, but building one another up is us living out the gospel by speaking the gospel to each other. Because that's the truth that builds us up as the body of Christ. So to build someone up is applying the gospel in that particular situation, in that occasion, addressing that need as you find it. How does God's grace apply to this situation? How does the gospel of Jesus Christ address this need that you are sharing with me right now? When one of us feels like life is out of control and the pain is overwhelming, we meet that need. We build them up with the gospel by reminding them that not only is God sovereign, but he understands because he became one of us. He entered into our suffering in order to rescue us from it. When I'm struggling with fear, overtaken by anxiety, the laundry list of what ifs is running through my mind, you meet that need. You build me up with the words that you say. God is with you. He is your strength. This is in his hands. He loves you enough to send his one and only son. And he's also going to graciously give you all things. Addressing the need, building up with the words that we say. When your friend is trying to satisfy their desires by looking to creation for what can only be found in the Creator, trying to buy their happiness or find their purpose in their work, you meet that need, you build them up with the truths of the gospel, that true life, hope, peace, comfort, meaning is found only in Christ. One final building up example here. And this is a good one because it gives us both an example of building up and an example of what it means to give grace. Turn to the end of 2 Corinthians if you have your Bibles handy. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. For this reason I write these things while I'm away from you, that when I come I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not tearing down. So here Paul is referencing, I'm writing this to you so that I don't have to be severe when I'm with you when it comes to building up or tearing down. So how do we build someone up with the words that we say? Paul then gives an example here. Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. So how do we build one another up? Well, you greet each other with a holy kiss. Just kidding. It's a holy handshake. Holy handshakes are totally fine. But look what else Paul is saying here. Restoration. He's applying the gospel. Restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace with one another. It's applying the gospel to meet our needs. And then Paul goes right into giving grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So here we are building each other up as fits the occasion, building up others according to their needs. And what kind of needs are being addressed here? By the good words that we speak, the phrase that fits occasion or according to need, it might refer to the need of the moment or maybe a particular need of the individual or even the need of the entire group, because the end of our verse here says that it may give grace to those, plural, who hear. So not only are we commanded not to speak rotten words, but we're also told in the positive way to only say what is helpful, what builds others up according to their need, in a way that benefits, gives grace to those who listen, that it may give grace to those who hear. That's our third and our final point this morning, giving grace. Grace is the motivation for what we say. The reason for only saying things which build up is that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, Paul, as he's given us each of these commandments, has given us the negative and the positive command, and then he gives us the example or the reason why, the purpose. And he's been doing that with each of these commands that he's been addressing as we've worked our way through. And so here in our verse 29, he gives us the negative command, to let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. And then he gives us the positive command, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion according to the need. And then he gives us the reason why, the motivation, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, what in the world does that mean? How do you give grace? What does it mean to give grace to those who hear? We know that when it comes to grace, grace is God's unmerited and undeserved favor in providing salvation for sinners through Christ's sacrificial death. It's something that God gives to us. Saving grace. Grace is the gospel in one word. And Paul's already unpacked the doctrines, the truths of grace for us. Back in chapter 2, verse 5, for by grace you have been saved. Chapter 2, verse 5. In chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God. So here, God is the one giving us grace. So how do we give grace to each other? The practical application of God's saving grace is living out the gospel in gracious ways with favor, gracious deeds, gifts that you give, the words that you speak, all ways of giving grace. And so giving grace is to show kindness to someone with the implication of graciousness on your part. To show kindness, to manifest graciousness to someone in the words that you say. Kindness, graciousness, grace in the words that people hear you say. Paul wants us to understand and appreciate and apply and live out God's undeserved favor, God's grace. And as we live out that gospel, Paul wants us to live it by giving grace to each other in the words that we speak. Now, this is kind of a nuance here of what's going on, especially in Paul. But in the New Testament, and especially in Paul, the result of God's continuous pouring out of grace onto us is not only the forgiveness of our sins, grace alone, but also the entire living of the Christian life by God's grace. To understand what Paul is getting at here, look back at verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So here God's pouring out grace onto the believers in the church according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So each individual in the church received grace, unmerited favor, that enables each believer for the ministry that they're called to do. Ephesians 4 verse 11, and he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So you have saving grace. But then the practical application of that gospel is the grace that is given to us, which equips us for the work of ministry that ultimately builds up the body of Christ. And then this is in this way, it doesn't take a specific calling to the office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, or shepherd, or teacher in order to give grace to those who hear. This is the calling. This is the privilege of all those who believe in Jesus Christ. To give grace to those who hear the words that you speak. Each believer has received from Christ a measure of a gift to use in the body of Christ. Romans 12 points that out, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. There, our gifts are connected with the grace that's given to us. Let us use them. And now in light of that, look at our passage, verse 29. Now we are giving grace to each other in the form of the kind, gracious things that we say to build each other up. Another way of saying this is that we are ministering the gospel to each other. And as we do this, we're not only giving grace to each other and building each other up, but we're also ultimately building up the body of Christ. So how does the gospel impact, affect the words you say? The gospel truth is that Christ dwells in your heart through faith. You believe in him, he's living in you. You are rooted and you are grounded in love. You are strengthened with the power of the Spirit. God's power is at work within you. That's the truth. And the application of that gospel is walk in a manner worthy of your calling. By letting no unwholesome, corrupting talk, rotten words come out of your mouth. But only what is good for building up as fits the occasion, as meets the need. That it may give grace to those who hear. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, help us to live out the gospel by your grace at work in us. Strengthen us with the power of the Spirit. Let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths, but only that which is good for building up as fits the occasion. That we may give grace to those who hear. May the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.